This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
What is... Dax, are you...
tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker on all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes, I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all, so we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge, trucks up 3.9%.
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between, because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Just not, I think, consistently yet, but now on, well, I guess not Friday, but whenever he comes back, it's like, hey, JK, go guard that guy for 30 minutes. Kuminga, all we want you to do is get off the bench and run. Like, do what you are best at. We don't need you to be the catalyst anymore. We have that. That's Curry and Butler. And maybe some nights more Butler than Curry. I don't know.
Right. Let's go to Dirty Chai. He's back. Dirty Chai's in the city. What's up, man?
What's up, Chai?
Hey, sorry about that. I'll make it faster this time. I'm a longtime Jimmy Butler fan, and okay. I think we've all taken a Bay Area first view of things, so I'm going to flip it and say, I think this is the best supporting cast Jimmy Butler has ever had, and that's why I'm confident in the Warriors.
Interesting.
I like that.
Well, let me ask you this. If you've seen Jimmy Butler play his whole career, like we've seen him for four games right now, and he looks dynamite, what are some of the things that he does that can be a problem for a team? Like, what does it look like when Jimmy Butler's not happy?
When he's not happy?
Yeah.
I mean, hopefully he's angry. When he's got something to prove. Like, we call it playoff Jimmy.
Right.
But you see it other times, too. Like, he showed up here, he heard all the chatter, and he's like, I got something to prove. So he showed up. He's dynamite. He's Kevin Durant on slashing. He's Kawhi Leonard on defense. He's got a high passing IQ, way better passer than his stats would show. He's an awesome passer. And he can teach the young guys. Like, I'm long Kuminga now because he's got Butler to teach him. He freezes the game with free throws, and that's when the older guys can coach, you know, all those little micro coaching you get when you freeze the game. It's like hit pause, little mini timeout, you know, 10 times a game with Jimmy Butler. When he's on, he's still one of the best three players in the league. So I think he's never had a guy like Curry, but except that one year with Derrick Rose healthy, that draws a lot of gravity. But Butler was too young back then. He's a lot better now. So as long as he stays healthy, we have a shot for the next 2-3 years.
Appreciate it, Dirty Chai. Dirty Chai said he's seen Butler play a lot.
That's an interesting take. I mean, I think where the Warriors are at in their careers, he's right. He's never played with a player like Curry. I mean, the best player that Jimmy Butler's played with, he's right about Rose, although I don't know if he had Derrick Rose, maybe one season in his prime when he was a rookie. But I was actually thinking about Joel Embiid the year that they lost to Kawhi Leonard and the Raptors. I think that's the best player that he's played with. But yeah, he didn't have a fellow number one in Miami. Certainly didn't have it in Minnesota. And I guess he was only there for the last like 50 games of the Sixers season. So yeah, maybe this is the best supporting cast that Jimmy Butler ever had, or the best teammates that he's played with. I just wonder, you know, if he goes into number one mode, sort of what that looks like.
I'm looking at the team that went to the finals in 2023, and Butler was the leading scorer on the team, averaging 23 a game. He was 10th in MVP voting, 12th in Defensive Player of the Year. He was an NBA second team All-NBA. Adebayo averaged 20, and Hero averaged 21. And then we get down to Caleb Martin, Strus, you know, Gabe Vincent, Kevin Love, etc. I'd say Curry, even at this age, is probably, because I'm now looking at Hero is 23 and Bam Adebayo is 25. So those guys were still pretty young when Jimmy took them there at the age of 33.
Yeah, I don't know if I'd say the best team that he's played with, but Curry's obviously the best player he's ever played with. That's for certain.
Yeah, no doubt about that. No doubt about that. All right, 888-957-9570 is the number. And we're talking about what do you guys think is making Draymond Green so confident about this team? We know Jimmy Butler's a part of it, but Evan brought up an interesting point that, you know, he thinks that Draymond Green has seen Curry make a transition, and it does feel like Curry believes more now than he has in the past. This is Frank Isola on Steph Curry and if he's still feared like he used to be around the league.
I think he is, because if the game is close in the fourth quarter, he's still a guy that if he gets on a roll, you know, within 5 minutes, he can completely change the game. He certainly did it at the Olympics, you know, in the gold medal game against France. He did it against Serbia as well. You know, the difference is, you know, the supporting cast may not be as good. I look at, you know, LeBron in a lot of ways is the same way. It's, you know, as these guys are getting older in age, you want someone else to maybe carry the load on certain nights, and it doesn't happen often enough for a team like the Warriors. But Steph Curry, you know, if you're going to ask coaches around the league when they're playing the Warriors, they're going to be worried about Steph Curry. It's just he's still that good, and you know he's going to give you incredible effort.
Yeah, and the part that would worry me if I were another team in the West is if, I mean, he's kind of right. If the Warriors can use 46 minutes to hang in a game, and now it's a tie game with 3 minutes left, let's say.
Yeah.
But they're throwing Draymond Green and Steph and Butler out there. I mean, that's where they can win games, because they still have they have two stars that can come through down the stretch. And, you know, Curry's obviously done it before.
Who do you think the best closers are in basketball? Because I would argue, I can make the argument right now. The last 3 to 5 years, the Warriors now have the best two closers in the NBA on their team. Steph Curry is as good of a closer as any. And with Butler's track record in the playoffs for, at least recently, a Miami team that had no business going as far as it did, I mean, he took them into Boston, beat the Celtics. He has taken this team up against a Giannis-led Milwaukee group. I mean, in the finals, I know they lost to LeBron, and I know he doesn't have a championship, but alongside Curry, who proved that among Olympians, he is their closer, I think you can make a case the Warriors have the two best under-two-minute players on their team.
That's very interesting, because when you said who are the best closers in the league, part of me thinks that a closer is just another way of saying a great player. But, you know, I'm looking at like Denver Nuggets. Well, Jokic is how can you say Jokic is not a closer? But
it's harder for big men, though.
Well, that's kind of what I'm getting to. Yeah. Now I look at Minnesota and I'm thinking, well, yeah, actually Anthony Edwards is a pretty good closer. And so, yeah, I guess as a closer, he might be, you know, higher up on the list than Jokic. But you're right about the last 3 minutes of a game and Butler and Steph Curry. And I hate to say it, but Draymond Green on the other end of the floor. Who knows?
Yeah, that's a good point. As a defensive closer, I know that's not really a term people throw around, but Draymond Green in spurts can summon that, you know, that old Draymond. I mean, he did it against Dallas. You know, I guess I'd be more worried about the preceding 46 minutes than the actual final two now for Golden State, where that wasn't the case before. But, you know, only because I think it's just harder for centers and big men to really take over games You know, if you just throw them the ball in the last possession, you can just double them. But then again, you know, it's you can't double Jokic, or you can, but he'll find exactly where the ball needs to go. I think Curry and Butler have proven that at the highest of levels and the biggest of games and the most pressure-filled moments, they're players that you feel pretty good with the ball in their hands.
You know what? What about Trae Young? As a closer.
Oh.
Like, he's...
Yeah, no, he's had moments. I mean, Damian Lillard has had big moments in the postseason. Kyrie, I think, is a good closer. Jamal Murray had the game-winning shot during the Nuggets' finals run against the Lakers. You know,
That's interesting.
You know, if you're just looking around the league, it's like 2 minutes left, tie game, who do you want having the ball? And I would argue the Warriors have two of those guys now. Durant, maybe. Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, for sure.
But I hear what you're saying. Let's say when Dallas had Kyrie and Luka, who do you want taking the last shot?
Either of those two guys.
Right.
But, yeah.
But I'd like, right, Kyrie.
I mean, you can't really double either of them. You know, and now that might actually end up being one of Dallas's bigger issues in the postseason. It's that, and the Warriors tried to do it. They just did it too late against Dallas. It's like you could just double Kyrie at midcourt. You know, you can force the ball out of his hands and force Najee Marshall to beat you.
888-957-9570 is the number. Optimism running wild here in the Bay. It is, and maybe rightfully so. The Warriors, they feel like they're back in business. They're talking about making a serious run. I mean, the one thing that we can't get ahead of ourselves with is, and they're still 10th. You know, they're still 10th. And they open up the second half of the season with Sacramento. You got to beat them. I mean, you got to beat them. You lost to Dallas. Like, those losses to Dallas are going to, or that loss to Dallas is kind of going to come back and hurt you a little bit. But they've got to start winning the games they're playing against the teams they're competing with to move up the standing.
Well, and I got some good news on that front, which I can reveal on the other side. I don't think it's out of the question for this team to win 17 or 18 games down the stretch. 2021, which may be what they need to get out of the play-in, I think that's going to be hard just because, I mean, it's winning 21 games out of 27 is just damn difficult. They've also, I know they went 3-1 before the break. They still haven't won three games in a row since November. So they got to prove that they can go on a win streak before we hand them that benefit of the doubt.
That's true. That is true. All right, 888-957-9570 is the number. And Draymond Green is as optimistic as he's been about a Golden State Warrior team probably since before the 2022 title. And he thinks this team's got a run in him. He thinks this team can win a championship. And over the weekend, he said, we will. We're going to win it. And my question to Warriors fans is, what do you think he sees? What's he seeing that we haven't seen yet, but that he knows is going to elevate them? Or do you think he doesn't even believe it in the first place? I actually think he does believe it, that they can get it done. My question is, what's he seeing? 888-957-9570. Take some calls on the other side. What's coming up on the game is brought to you by Fremont Bank. Here for you, here for good.
Now, back to Steiny and Guru on 95.7 The Game.
Question's this, do the Warriors have irrational confidence right now? Draymond Green, and by the way, because I've gotten some texts on this, on what he said, and I want to clear it up. It's true that when he was on with TNT, he didn't specify when they were going to win this title. Draymond Green said we're going to win the championship. He didn't specify this year. But that's why you got to read Sam Amick's story in The Athletic, because Sam was obviously spent a lot of time with Draymond Green this weekend, and he said that wasn't the first time that Draymond was talking about winning a title. And in fact, Sam Amick was talking to Draymond Green in the lobby, I believe, of a hotel. And Draymond said, "We're going to win the championship." And Amick asked him delicately if his prediction was intended to be applied this year, and Draymond said, "Yes, absolutely." So Draymond has not only been talking about a title, he has specified that, yeah, he thinks they can win it this year. And you got a piece of good news?
No, I was just going to say, yeah, that was on Friday.
Right.
That was at the Tech Summit, where he was also in earshot of Warriors team president Brandon Schneider. So he's telling everybody, like, this is how Draymond feels. And even if you think he's crazy, I mean, you got to respect the fact that he's not just doing this for show. Like, he's telling everyone that he thinks that they got action. And I have reservations about it, but if you're a fan, how can you not like hearing that? You know, there wasn't a whole lot, I think, of other, I don't know, big stuff that came out of the weekend. We haven't even got to the fact that Draymond might be the next head coach of the Golden State Warriors. But as far as, like, electric comments, I would say that most of the attention about the All-Star Weekend or game was negative. And it was, well, LeBron's not playing. He's screwing the game. Guru didn't like that, you know, Mac McClung won the dunk contest. Curry didn't participate in the three-point contest. It was all let down. It's like the most positive thing to come out of the weekend for Warriors fans is the fact that Draymond Green said they're going to win the championship this year.
Yeah, and I also saw a lot of comments from people who are saying, well, what do you expect him to say? Of course he's going to say that. To me, what's most interesting is this was unprompted. It's not like that anybody went up to him and said, hey, do you think you can win a title this year? Yeah, we can win a title. He offered that without any question about a title, which leads me to believe he was delivering some kind of message to somebody or everybody. And here's the other thing I thought of, though. You know, it's something about Draymond. Like, if they don't win a title, he'll just be like, I was wrong. Big deal.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, he's not going to have to pay a price for this. In fact, he'll be self-deprecating about it when it doesn't happen, and there won't be any consequences.
No, and he doesn't care about being wrong.
Right.
It's not like he ain't been wrong before. I mean, no, it's a win-win. Again, if he's the prophet. He's Draymond the prophet if they win the championship. And if they don't, then he's just Draymond Green. I mean, you know, he's allowed to do that. That's kind of who he is. Rules are different for different people. And Draymond getting on national television and making probably the boldest proclamation of the weekend, it's in one breath exciting and, you know, kind of like, I don't know, scintillating. But on the other hand, it's also like, of course, Draymond would say that.
Yeah, of course. Let's go to Shooter. Shooter's in Virginia. Hey, Shooter, how you doing, buddy?
Hey, what's going on, guys?
Hey,
I just wanted to, I know we're talking about, you know, Golden State, you know, the chances to win this year and, you know, what they're going to do moving forward next year. But, hey, Steiny, I mean, I want to know why you're not talking more about the conversation that you had with Kurt Laker, man. That was the most interesting conversation that you had, I feel like, the whole entire week when he was they're thinking about next year. They're going to make another big move. So I was just trying to, you know, see if you wanted to talk more about that conversation with, you know, that you had with Kurt Laker, because Kurt Laker was saying, you know, they're thinking about winning 1, 2, 3 more championships. And he said, they thinking about making a whole nother big move.
Yeah.
Adding another big guy.
Yeah. What I did was I talked about, like, Draymond saying they can win a championship. I didn't talk specifically about Kirk Lacob's comments from last week, but you're right. I mean, he talked about Steph Curry. He doesn't just want to win his fifth. He wants to win 6, 7, yeah, 8. And he did allude to the fact that he still thinks if something were to pop up, they could make a big move in the offseason. That one I'm going to wait to see, because I don't really see how they can make a big move without it including Butler or Steph Curry.
Right. Yeah, I think he was. Yeah, he said. It sounded like he was saying they were going to make a. You know, they had options. He was saying that. That's what he was kind of specifying. Yeah. They had other options. He used the word options for next year. They got all their draft picks, and they got their players to make another. They got options to make another move, and I just wanted to see if you can, you know, kind of what did you read into that? Because that sounded like they were, you know, talking about making adding another key piece. What I mean, it doesn't have to be another big boy, but it sounded like Kurt Laker was very optimistic about next season, no, adding another guy.
I mean, he was. Thank you, Shooter. Appreciate it. I think the rest of the year is obviously huge. What they do in the offseason, I think, will have a lot to do with how the next 27 games go. If this team makes a little bit of a run and they feel like next year it can be better, who knows what they'll do this summer. They have talked about their optionality, and I mean, I guess you have to give them credit because after everything they did this summer, they were able to go make a move for a difference maker, they believe, and it's what they've been talking about for, you know, a year or two now, and they came through.
Yeah, they hadn't made moves until they had to. I think we all agree that this year they had to make a move, even if it wasn't for someone as big as Jimmy Butler. But especially with trying to court Durant and trying to make that kind of splash, Butler was someone that they felt like they had to go get. And according to Kirk, they had their eyes on for some time. I think they're now back to being like, we're good until we're not. And worst case scenario, you got three older bodies. They break down over the final 27 games. You know, I guess one thing that I wonder how they would be able to alter this path is, I think it'd be really hard to trade Jimmy Butler, say, if he gets hurt or if he turns back into somewhat of a malcontent. I don't know who'd be wanting to pick up $55 million for a 36-year-old next season. Like, you decided to get older, and that's completely up to you. But I don't know. If it doesn't work out, I guess I just don't know how they can get younger without basically just going through the process of drafting another player. So they picked the path. I think they got rid of some of their optionality. But if they want to make a move this offseason, it could include a sign-and-trade of Jonathan Kuminga.
It could.
Maybe there's a team that wants him at 35, and that gives you a larger slot. And maybe if you decide that next year is actually the...
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Hey, I'm Andy. If you don't know me, it's probably because I'm not famous. But I did start a men's grooming company called Harry's. The idea for Harry's came out of a frustrating experience I had buying razor blades. Most brands were overpriced, overdesigned, and out of touch. At Harry's, our approach is simple. Here's our secret. We make sharp, durable blades and sell them at honest prices for as low as $2 each. We care about quality so much that we do some crazy things, like buy a world-class German blade factory. Obsessing over every detail means we're confident in offering a 100% quality guarantee. Millions of guys have already made the switch to Harry's. So thank you if you're one of them. And if you're not, we hope you give us a try with this special offer. Get a Harry starter set with a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, shave gel, and a travel cover. All for just $3 plus free shipping. Just go to harrys.com and enter code STYLE at checkout. That's harrys.com, code STYLE. Enjoy!
This President's Day, upgrade the look of your home without breaking your budget. Save up to 40% site-wide on brand new window treatments now at Blinds.com. Blinds.com, the number one online retailer of custom window treatments, is the better way to give your home the presidential treatment. Blinds.com makes it easy with free virtual consultations on your schedule and samples delivered directly to your door, fast and free. Choose from trending woven wood shades or upgrade to motorized. Blinds.com has everything and more, all with upfront pricing and no hidden fees. Need help with installation? Blinds.com can handle it for you. Or DIY with expert guidance from our design pros. With over 25 million windows covered and our 100% satisfaction guarantee, you can count on Blinds.com to deliver results you'll love. Shop Blinds.com's President's Day Mega Sale Last Chance right now and save up to 40% site-wide, plus a free professional measure. Up to 40% off site-wide at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Ah, can't you see it? A glistening 100 megawatt solar field begging to be built. It's photovoltaic modules and balance of system powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean. We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Year, then maybe you decide you dip into the second apron for a season, because that's really the only season that matters anyways. And you try and fill out your roster with different pieces. And, you know, I don't think that next year is all of a sudden just like set in stone, but they're going to have to prove why they should keep this big three together over the remainder of this year.
Yeah, they acquired Jimmy Butler for him to be on the team at least this year and next, and probably even a year after.
You would think.
Here's what a shooter in Virginia was talking about, what Kirk Lacob was talking about on Wednesday when we were over at Thrive City. Here's what Shooter was talking about. Kirk Lacob talking about Curry, his future, and what's in store for the Warriors.
Steph is, he's just the best. This guy makes everybody else's job so easy. The way he goes about things, the trust he puts in people, puts pressure on at the appropriate times, the leadership he shows, the work ethic he has, it just makes everybody's job easier. We're always working with him to find a way to give him the best possible set of opportunities to win. This guy, he's brought 4 championships to the Bay. He deserves to give a chance to bring 5, 6, 7, whatever it is. And sometimes it's not a linear path. If you try to do too much, you affect your ability to maybe win the next year or maybe make the big move next. So it's a very delicate balance, because you can't always wait for the next thing. Sometimes you got to make a decision. In this case, there was an opportunity to do something that we thought materially changed our odds this year and next year. And we also gave us the opportunity to continue to do things after this move. And Steph was all about that. He's not about just winning number 5.
Man. Curry's greedy. I mean, he's greedy. Let somebody else win a ring.
Well,
he's got 4.
He has for a couple of years. You know, this is very kind of him to let other teams. You know what, actually, hit me listening to that? So, Draymond's talking about a title.
Right.
Kirk's 4, actually, was it even 4 games in? Or was it before the Houston game?
It might have been. It was before both games.
Okay, so after 2 games.
Yeah.
Kirk Lacob is throwing 6 and 7 out there on the table.
Yeah.
What hit me listening to that is just another reason why Steph is so unique. He's the sole reason that everyone in the Warriors organization can talk bleep, can talk as crazy as they want about rings of the future, rings of the past, and not just because Steph is a good player and they know that he can help back them up, but because Curry is such a unique person that he doesn't care. He doesn't care that people put title and added championship pressure on. In fact, he made a joke about it at the podium after the All-Star game. He was talking to Draymond on the TNT broadcast about what Draymond just said, knowing that Draymond's not the guy that's got to back him up or right. back his own words up. Kirk Lacob can say he wants to get 7, he wants to get 8. And Curry's the one that's got to go out there and do the work.
Right.
But that's just another reason why Steph is the most unique superstar I've ever seen, because in no other franchise or organization are there players, front office members, maybe coaching staff, whoever, that are talking this wild about a team that is a game above 500. I mean, seriously.
Yeah, and you're right. I mean, that's what Steph Curry can do for your hope. He can give you some.
Because he's not going to be a guy that will go and say, dude, what are you doing?
Yeah.
Like, in fact, he'll say, all right, time to go to work.
You know what hit me? And I said this last week. I don't know why, but this bothered me. Why did he say it materially changed our odds this year and next year when Butler and Curry are actually signed for 2 more years after this year? Mm. Why didn't he say materially change our odds this year and the next 2? I know, I'm being literal. I don't get it. But why did he leave out the last year? What's he know?
You can read tea leaves.
Maybe they're going to move Steph for that last year. Maybe he knows they're going to have to move Steph to Charlotte to play his last year in the NBA.
Or maybe they know that Jimmy Butler is going to take a flamethrower to Chase Center in his last season, because there's not going to be another $55 million contract waiting for him on the back end.
Kenny Smith of TNT was asked about what Jimmy Butler does to the Warriors. Does he make him a contender? Does he not? This is also from NBC Sports Bay Area.
I think the addition of Jimmy Butler has made him more offensively aggressive, because now I think there's someone who can yell at him, and someone who can lead him.
Yeah.
I think he felt that he's the leader. I don't think that he would ever think that he needs to lead Jimmy Butler. And so I've noticed in the last 4 games that he's been here that he's taken the 3 more, and then you see 12 points. It's just be around 12.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Take your threes, take your layups, take your dunks. Don't overpass. Like, I think sometimes he overpasses. Mm-hmm. But when he doesn't overpass, he doesn't realize how good the team is. And he's like, no, but would you rather have me shooting or Steph shooting? Oh, yeah, we'd rather have Steph shooting. But if you shoot, we're going to get more shots for Steph.
Right, yeah.
That's what I told him one day in the studio. If you shoot more, you'll get more shots for Steph.
That's so interesting. Kenny Smith saying that.
It's about Draymond.
Right. He was saying that Butler may unlock Draymond offensively. Because Butler won't stand for Draymond holding the ball, waiting to throw it to Steph Curry. It feels like Butler's like, go do something. Quit just standing there with the ball, waiting for your guy.
Or maybe he's another guy that Draymond will actually pass the ball to. You know, and
that's true.
You know, it's not like Oscar Robertson was saying over the weekend where Draymond only throws it to Steph Curry. No, I think Butler's going to help Draymond. I don't know if it's help him score more points or, I mean, he's shooting like 64% from the free throw line or 33%. I don't know if he's going to help him score more, shoot better, but I think he is going to make Draymond a more effective passer. I think he's going to make Draymond, you know, his ability to screen, his ability to create for others, it becomes a little easier for Draymond, you know, now that he's got another guy that demands attention. But I don't know if Draymond's all of a sudden going to go back to scoring 11 points a game or 12 points.
Yeah, I don't. What's the most he ever averaged? I think maybe 13.
I think in 2016 he averaged like 14 points. But who do you think, outside of Curry, that Butler impacts the most positive? Like, who do you, I mean, is it Draymond? We haven't seen it with Kuminga yet. I think that's definitely someone he can, well, I don't know, though, because Kuminga needs space on the floor. And there's less spacing now with Butler.
You know, what if I told you, believe it or not, I think it's Pods and Moody. And here's why.
Yeah.
Like, I think over time, I think, like, Jimmy Butler eventually is going to take more and more of a role on this team. You can call it leadership or vocally. But to me, the Warriors have two young players. Pods, who sometimes tries to do too much, and Moody, who to me sometimes doesn't do enough. And I could actually see a guy like Jimmy Butler being a strong enough personality to be able to tell Pajemski, hey, cool it. Cool your jets, dude. You know, you're trying to do too much. And Pods will have to listen to Butler. Probably be scared of him. I would be. And then Moody, he can say, dude, you got to be more of a threat out here. I mean, we can't just have you standing on the three-point line going, you know, 1 for 6 every night. Like, that's where I think Butler could come in, because Draymond's voice might be a little old to those guys, especially to Moody. Maybe not Pods, but that's where I think Butler could make an impact.
That's true. This is from Ion, who donated $5 on our YouTube super chat. I think Dre has realized Steph plus Kuminga plus Jimmy split plus split action is unguardable. Maybe. You know, I just think he sees a more talented team. I think he just sees a better squad. I think he sees a team that's now led by two alphas that have had postseason success in different ways, but are battle tested, and those are guys that he wants to go to war with. So I think that's what he sees. I agree with Pajemski and Moody. You know, I think he'll help everybody, but I think specifically Pods, like, Pajemski's a guy that he tries to do too much, but I don't think he's yet at the point where he needs someone alongside him to handle the ball. I don't think he can be really like a point, at least yet. And Jimmy Butler is quietly a point forward. You know, he's a third guy that can really pass the ball. I forget who called in earlier talking about his ability to swing it. But, yeah, like, not only does he get others involved, he takes care of the ball. You know, he was really pissed at himself in the Dallas game, I think, because he had 3 turnovers. I mean, that's like an average for a Warriors player. You know, he turned the ball over 3 times. And I think he's turned it over 1 time in the other 3 games combined. So the fact that Butler takes care of the ball means that you don't have to worry about the turnover twins, Curry and Draymond, sometimes when they get loose with the rock. You can give it to Jimmy. And for Pajemski, he doesn't have to carry that role. He can just be the connector, which is probably his best role anyways. And I think same for Moody.
Yeah, I would agree with that. I like Pods to be in a little bit more of a straitjacket, if you will. But I think that he tries to do too much because it's a function of how they played the first half of the season and even last year. And that's, I got to tell you, one of the things that I'm most interested in seeing, and we can go down that road too, at 888-957-9570. We've gotten a little taste of 4 games with Jimmy Butler. And there is no doubt the optimism about this team has changed. And my question to Warrior fans is, what's the most exciting thing you're looking for down the stretch? Or what is maybe a challenge that you think they're going to have to overcome? Mine would be this. If the stakes of the game continue to be ramped up, in other words, if the Warriors start to make a run, and all of a sudden they're playing really important games, and let me tell you, if they make a run, it's probably going to start pretty quickly. If they make a run, it's probably going to start pretty quickly. And so I want to see how Steve Kerr coaches this team in terms of utilizing the young players and the veterans, knowing damn well that they're going to be playing really important games at the end of the regular season. And what's that going to do to the younger players, if anything? Does he have the stomach, if you will, to keep making sure that Moody plays, that Kuminga plays, and that Pajemski plays?
Yeah, the first two, Kuminga and Moody, I wonder how that's going to work, because They seem to play the same position. But I think that when they, and this was also sort of something people wanted it last year more, but the idea of condensing the roster, you know, not just because you got too many dudes, but so like Kerr doesn't have the willingness to just lean on veterans. Like you strip him of choices, you know. He no longer has Schroeder, Slo-Mo, Waters. Like I know he's still got GP2 and Looney, and those are players that he'll lean on and rely on. But there's more of a clear top eight or top nine on the team now, and so it's like Kuminga's gonna have to play. Moody has to play, and you only have 12 guys on the roster right now. Maybe if they sign Knox, maybe it's 13. But it's like all of those dudes are going to have to play minutes now for them, and there's no backup plan. Like either this thing is going to work or it's not. And what I really also think Jimmy Butler brings to the table is this idea of a structured hierarchy where Curry's obviously the one, Jimmy is the two, or some nights can be your one, but then everyone else can just fall back into place. You know, it's not where Kuminga's got to be the number two scorer on one night, or Buddy Hield's got to be a good shooter one night, or I don't know.
I don't really want to get into who's the one on this team, because I think they can both be ones, Butler and Curry.
Yeah.
I think Curry's going to need Butler to carry the Warriors certain games until the end. And maybe there's going to be certain games where Butler needs more help from Steph Curry. But I do think that if they can get to the end of a game with Butler and with Steph, and yes, with Draymond Green, the other team's going to have to beat them. That team might not beat itself. Like, that's the one thing about the Warriors. They may beat themselves a lot less with Jimmy Butler than before they had him. 888-957-9570 is the number. What's the thing you're looking most forward to in the last 27 games for the Golden State Warriors? What specifically? 888-957-9570. Download the free Odyssey app and check us out on YouTube and Twitch, powered by First NorCal Credit Union. That segment was also brought to you by the San Francisco International Airport.
What is love? Baby, don't hurt me. Don't hurt me no more. Baby, don't hurt me. Don't hurt me no more.
Now, back to Steiny and Guru on 95.7 The Game.
All right, Evan Giddings in for Daryl the Guru Johnson. Hopefully, Guru will be back tomorrow. And we're talking about the Golden State Warriors. By the way, I didn't get a chance to pick your brain about Friday. And I see Deborah and Carlito. I'll get to you guys in a sec.
Oh, I thought you were going to talk about the breaking news that Lonnie Walker IV has agreed to a 2-year deal with the Philadelphia 76ers.
Oh, God, I thought it was going to be the Warriors.
Yeah, I would have liked Lonnie Walker. Lonnie, keep the candle lit, Walker. Candle lit.
Wow.
You don't want to get another guy from Reading, Pennsylvania in here.
Steiny loves him some Lonnie.
Oh, God, we would have bonded. The Sixers, huh?
Well, no, that would have been tough, actually, because he probably would have taken Pod's spot within a week, and we don't need that right now.
It's true.
Pod's playing well.
So Pod's gets to kind of go, Lonnie Walker gets to go home.
Yeah,
Reading, of course, right outside.
He's going to play a lot for the Sixers.
He might. Friday night, you were at
Amador Lounge.
Okay.
Yeah, it's a cigar lounge, kind of like a social club.
I got you. So I was indisposed on Friday night from 6 to 9. So who did you... Give me all the people you interviewed, because it sounds like a who's who.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun, and it was before kind of like the celebrity pickleball event that Rick Barry was in this weekend, Molly Hardaway, you know, Run TMC, a lot of other celebrities. But we got to talk to... So off the bat, it was your boy, Latrell Sprewell.
Oh, man.
Right off the bat.
What'd you ask him?
Well, I asked him about you. Off air.
Oh, no.
And he said he'd recognize you if I had a picture. No, I think once I told him kind of what you wrote, and this wasn't on camera, but once I talked to him about it, he's like, oh, yeah, that guy. So we talked to Latrell Sprewell, talked to Dusty Baker.
Oh, nice.
Talked to Tyler Hansborough, talked to John Isner, talked to Anthony Anderson. And then afterwards, because he had just gotten there. Chad Ochocinco's flight, I guess, couldn't get out of Miami, and we weren't able to get him on Zoom. But after the show was over, myself and Mark Grandy went up to where the cigar party was, and T.O. was there. Mitch Richmond showed up. There's a lot of ballers there. Nice. So it was a good time.
So Spree was cool?
Spree was sick.
Yeah.
Spree was really cool, actually. He apparently has a pretty good relationship with Jimmy Butler. So I asked him about what it's like to basically be a kind of mischaracterized person in the NBA.
Huh.
And he said, yeah, you don't read anything. You cannot read anything that's
Makes
written
sense.
About you because you're never going to control a narrative. And I realize that Sprewell has done some things that are, I don't know, a bit more costly than Jimmy Butler. But I don't know, man. I could see why he has an affection for a player like that.
Yeah, I always liked Spree. You know, the one thing
I didn't realize he was from Wisconsin.
Milwaukee, I think, right?
Yeah, he's from the same area as Looney, Poole, and Pods. But
yeah, that's right.
Yeah, he's kind of got that Midwestern humble nature about him. He was really cool.
Yeah, he is all right. The one thing about him is, if you interviewed him after a game, you didn't know whether the Warriors won or lost. He was the same way, and chances were they lost. But my point is that he was always professional and pretty cool to writers back in the day. All right, let's go to Carlito in Alameda. What's up, Carlito? How you doing?
Hello, gentlemen. Hello, yeah. Gentlemen. Doing well. Listen, I'm going to say what nobody else seems to be willing to say. And Steph and Draymond were drunk off the champagne from the All-Star game. This is a little silly. We're not even a playoff team right now, let alone a championship. I'm going to put you guys on the spot. Do they make the playoffs? Yes or no? Thank you.
Oh, Carlito. Ye of little faith. Do they make the playoffs? I think they do.
I'm going to say yes.
Do they make the championship? Do they win the championship? Are they championship? I right now would say no.
I think they're going to get to the playoffs via the play-in.
Yeah, I think it's going to be, and we talked about this a while ago, but I think it's still the most realistic path, which is you get to the first play-in game. Ideally is a 7, so you have the first game at home, but you definitely get 2 cracks to get to the postseason, and you win that first game. Or you go on the road as an 8 seed, and you know, I don't know, maybe you catch Dallas, you know, who's a bit banged up. Maybe it's Minnesota, who is, I think they've been playing good basketball, but you're 3-1 against Minnesota. Maybe
right.
That's the matchup you want in the first play-in game. So I think that's the most realistic path to the playoffs.
Oh, I know what I wanted to ask you, and you kind of teased this.
Nah.
Well, let me get to Deborah, and then we'll get on with it. Deborah in San Leandro. Hey, Deborah.
Hey, Donnie. How are you today?
We're doing well. Thank you.
Good. A couple of things, like what I want to see, right? I want to see Jimmy Butler be available, because that was my only concern about Jimmy, was his availability. So I want to see him be available, and I want to see the Warriors, who have the second most, like Cleveland and the Warriors have the most clutch games. Is that what they call it when you're
mm-hmm.
at a certain time frame?
Yeah,
exactly.
Okay, so they have the most clutch game in the NBA, Cleveland and Warriors. Cleveland's won 72% of theirs. I think with Butler, if he's playing, we're going to win a lot of those games, and I think that pushes us into the playoffs.
Yeah.
I have been a skeptic, I have to tell you.
All right.
So those are what I want to see. All right.
Yep, appreciate it, Deborah. No, I'm still a little skeptical, too, but it's sure better now than it was. Like, I guess if the Warriors, I'm trying to envision the Warriors didn't make a move and we're talking today about the Warriors.
Yeah.
I mean, think about the difference in tone between the way we talked about the Warriors today as opposed to the way we would have talked about them if they hadn't made a move.
Yeah, exactly. No, and Deborah's point is a good one. But let's, to her point. So the Warriors have played in the most clutch games in the NBA, games defined by 5 or less points in under 5 minutes.
Okay.
I think they've played 34, about. But they're 500. Like, they're 17-7, or about 500 in clutch games this year. So if we extrapolate that over the last 27, That means if they've played about 60% of their games in clutch time, then of the remaining 27, they'll be at like 17. Like 17 of the remaining 27 games will likely be decided by 5 points in the final 5 minutes. Can the Warriors go 11-6 in those clutch games where they've been 500 before? Like that, to Deborah's point, that to me is what I would be looking for to put them in a position to get to the 7 or 8 or maybe even the 6 seed. Like, in fact, they're probably going to have to play better than that in order to get down the stretch of the regular season.
Right.
Like, that's what I'm looking at. Can you go, if you play 17 clutch games over your last 27, can you go 11-6 or better?
That's a darn good percentage.
Well, that's a little less than what she was talking about with Cleveland.
Right. The other thing is with 27 games left, you did some research on the scheduling, right?
Oh, I did.
So of the teams the Warriors are involved with, who's got the easiest schedule, who's got the toughest schedule from here to the end of the season?
Well, first, and this kind of factors in, so ATCO Pest Control is donating $5 to say, Evan, I don't see them making the playoffs. Where does the bench depth rank versus other playoff teams? Not enough shot makers. That's fair, but I think the reason why they're going to be in a position to make the playoffs is partially because of the schedule, which is the second easiest in the West. So it's the second easiest in the West. The team that has the easiest schedule in the Western Conference is the Minnesota Timberwolves.
Mm.
And that might be a team, but you have the tiebreaker against them if you can match them. But the teams in front of them, Dallas, is also a team that plays a relatively easy schedule, but it's middle of the pack. The Lakers, however, they play the sixth toughest schedule the remainder of the season. The Clippers, who are in front of you and occupy the sixth spot that you want, play the fifth toughest schedule in the Western Conference. Sacramento has the second toughest schedule in the NBA. Phoenix, if you're worried about them catching you, I don't know how many people are, but they have the toughest schedule in the NBA down the stretch. So the Warriors are in a position where they can, like, we might actually get to the playoffs and not really know how good they are because they're not playing a lot of great teams.
Right.
They have a chance to clean up a lot of games, and they're going to have to because right now they're in 10th.
So Phoenix right now is a game and a half behind the Warriors, and they've got the toughest schedule of any Western Conference team. So they're...
No. That's in the NBA.
Toughest schedule in the NBA.
Phoenix and Sac are the number one and number two teams in the league.
I mean,
the Warriors are, I think, 20th, and Minnesota is 28th.
The team that I find interesting are the Clippers. They're right now holding the sixth spot, and they're two behind the Lakers. The Warriors are 3.5 games behind the Clippers. Like, believe it or not, that's a lot of games with only 27 left in the regular season. But that's how for the Warriors to get to six, they would have to leapfrog, you know, four teams, and that would ensure them a playoff series without a play-in. 7 and 8, if they get to 7 and 8, obviously they guarantee themselves at least one game, or they guarantee themselves two cracks at getting into the postseason.
No, I'm with you. And it's also four teams you got to jump. You know, Sacramento, I think that starting on Friday, you'd like to think you could go win that game.
Right.
Dallas, you'll have on Sunday. You
don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Hey, I'm Josh Fink, owner of Knicks Menswear. Getting married? Don't rent some random suit. At Knicks, we help you own the look for about the same price as a rental. You're marrying the love of your life. Don't you deserve a suit that's yours forever? Knicks Menswear, your friend in style.
Head to Safeway this week for these amazing digital deals for members. Signature Farms chicken, split breasts, drumsticks, or thighs, buy one, get one free of equal or lesser value when you buy two. Or a wheat variety bread, 24-ounce selected varieties, buy one, get one for free of equal or lesser value when you buy two. And Progresso soup, 18 to 19-ounce selected varieties, buy two, get three free of equal or lesser value when you buy five. Visit Safeway.com for more details. See you in the aisles.
Do you believe you were wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.